Hillman on CliffCentral.com.
Right then, blogging is the big thing in the 21st century, which is why every week we dedicate a half an hour to looking at blogging and vlogging and social media and all of that stuff. Our two captains of the conversation are Warda Hartley.
Hello.
And of course, Mary Lou.
Hey, hey.
How are you two blogging?
Good. I'm actually a little bit sad. Can I tell you why? Because I follow Daisy Perkins, and she's like one of my favorite YouTubers like ever. And I follow her on Snapchat, and she was talking about like editing her vlog, her travel vlog, etc. for her viewers, and she was going to upload it. And then she, by mistake, instead of saying vlog, she said blog. And then she very quickly corrected herself, and she kind of made fun of like, who still blogs these days? Before she proceeded on, sorry guys, I meant to vlog. I mean, so I was like, aw.
Well, I'm also starting to see that perhaps there is a shift away from traditional blogging. And like, blogging is seen as now traditional. You add that word to it.
It's
now.
Like the newspapers.
Blogging is like, yeah, that's like 5 years ago. Now blogging's like the new thing. I haven't actually been that active on my blog this week. I've just been sort of like expanding on the Ramadan fast health and wellness blog that I put up at the beginning of the week, because I've gotten so many responses to it and people love it, and it's actually gone viral within the Muslim community where people have been screen grabbing it and sending it to their friends, and the news is coming back to me, and it's so exciting and I'm so happy. So even though, which has been quite interesting this week, even though I haven't put anything fresh up since Monday, the blog has been so busy because people have been obviously sending it to their friends saying, look at this, we need to follow this, we need to read this article. So that's been really cool. I've just been busy getting used to fasting.
Here's a quick question for the two of you, and I was reading something a little earlier on today about the future of audiences is niche audiences. I mean, is there anything 20, 30 years from now that is going to still have a mass audience? I remember a time when like people would sit down at home and watch like American Idol as a family. Are we there yet? Are we going to be there in 20, 30 years from now? Or is it just going to be people with specific interests will rally and find media around those interests? And there's no like thing that can sweep a nation anymore, or the whole world waits for something. I mean, soccer, obviously, football, sports.
Sports is different.
That's what I was trying to say. And then I said soccer instead of sports.
That's why Ben's blog is one of the biggest in the country.
Yeah. Well, besides sports.
Yes, besides sports.
Yes, so from like personal experience, I think it's not just the viewer's interest as per se, but it's also on loyalty, like following type of loyalty. Mm. For example, like, I think I probably only really got into watching a lot of beauty YouTube videos, etc., because I was loyal to certain YouTubers who I really enjoyed their videos, but not only because they demonstrated stuff that I was interested in, but it's also because I like the style of their video, also the stuff that they say. You know, sometimes like when you listen to someone, you just automatically drawn to the way that person speaks.
Yeah.
So I feel like that had to do with a lot of why I am interested in beauty and lifestyle and fashion, etc. It's because I was loyal to certain followers. So I think that's...
And then you got into beauty blogging.
Yeah, I feel like that kind of resonates and with everyone, you know, like I think eventually, maybe 20 years, I think it's going to progress even bigger. Like you are loyal to certain followers and then their friends, their circles that they introduce you to, like stuff like that online.
I think I hear you, and I think there is merit to that, but I also think there is something to be said about niche markets. And one can see it just from my perspective, like big brands are starting to realize that they must focus on, even if it's for a short time, on certain parts of the community and like focus on them and market things specifically for them because there's value in that. Like now at the beginning of the fast, Mango launched its Ramadan line of clothing, a specific line of clothing for Dolce & Gabbana.
Yes,
launch their line of abayas. So they see the value in that. It's a very niche market.
Yes.
I mean, there's like, I think I read something that said there's like 7 billion people in the world and 1.6 million is of Muslim descent or Muslim. So they've chosen to focus on that little niche market and seeing the value in it, because obviously there is value in niche markets. So it might be Muslims now, tomorrow it might be obviously Christmas lines, and then it's like, you know, Christmassy stuff and specifically for the festive season. So I think there is something to be said about niche markets. There is something there.
You got to figure out what it is that you're really good at communicating and creating content around, and then put stuff out there in that lane. And you two both do this, you know, Warder in a fitness space, Mary in a beauty space. You got to find the thing that is specific, which is really difficult. I want to pick up on something that we've been discussing the past couple of weeks, and that is that there's always going to be space for an audience. Because in this generation, I feel like a lot of people feel like they should be putting out content. We were actually speaking to Grant Hines the other day on Skype from Cape Town, who's a sort of local gamer on YouTube. He's a YouTube gamer. And he was saying that you don't need to always be the person putting out the content. And I think sometimes people feel pressure to, if you have an Instagram account, be putting out content. But you don't have to be putting out content. You can also just be someone that consumes it.
But I do also feel that's it. Well, I don't know about other platforms, but I feel like specifically to Instagram, if you don't post often enough, I feel like you lose followers. So I mean, I'm not even like, I'm like one of those people. I haven't really been that active on Instagram, and I literally just see myself losing followers every day. Well, also obviously because of like, you know, people follow you to get follow back, and if you don't follow back, they unfollow you.
Yes,
like,
I hate that.
What is like, what is up with that? Can we not be so childish online, please? Just follow who you want to see content from.
Genuinely,
you know.
Yeah.
So yeah, I feel like that's also one of the things. If you don't post often enough, then people just end up unfollowing.
And the thing is, you can consume, but the thing is, you can consume if you're a famous person. Like for example, if you follow like really famous people. They only follow like one other person. Like Kim Kardashian only follows Kanye, and Kanye only follows her. They don't follow anyone else. Like they don't need to, because if
they're not normal people.
Them. Yeah, but I'm saying like some people are able to do that and still grow a huge following.
Yeah.
But I think for the rest of us, you need to be active. You need to be consuming
well,
as well as contributing.
If you want a following. So like I found with Snapchat, I'm not very good at doing this every day. I'll do it like maybe like once a week on a Friday afternoon after we've wrapped the show, and then I'm like, let me, you know, listen to music and put on dog filters on my face. But I actually don't mind, but it doesn't mean I don't use the thing every day. I sit for half an hour before I go to sleep watching everyone snaps, but I'm not producing anything, and I'm actually okay with that. Just because I have it doesn't mean I have to use it and put content out onto it.
Yeah, I also don't always put content out on it. Sometimes I feel the value in doing it, but sometimes I just feel like being quiet and watching other people's stuff for a few days, and I do that, and that's fine.
Yeah.
All right. How far are we with getting Chris Rogers on the line? We're going to get Chris on the line. He's our guest today. Chris, do I want to speak to this oak? Because his life looks like the life that I aspire to one day have, and he's younger than me. What do we know about Chris Rogers? Why am I so jealous?
He's just awesome. He's a vlogger, and he just won some award for being the top vlogger. He didn't tell us much about himself.
No,
just
not in his bio.
Generally, he's very, very stuff, awesome.
His stuff is unbelievable. He works a hell of a lot with GoPro. He's 23 years old. He shoots action sports, wakeboarding, snowboarding, surfing, skateboarding, BMX. He'll get like a couple of 100,000 views on a video of his girlfriend just leading him into different locations.
I've seen that. Yeah, I actually watched one of those videos. I think, you know what, the production value is a huge part of, I think, of vlogging. If your production value is good and you can put together like nice, punchy videos, then people will watch. Because I've watched stuff where people literally sit there and they talk for a full hour, and I just stop halfway through. I'm like, no, I literally cannot deal with it.
Can't do any more of this.
And funny enough, it's always these vegan videos, people preaching about veganism.
Oh my word, I just feel like punching them when I watch those things, especially when they bash people who choose a different kind of lifestyle. It really irritates me. Like, can you just contribute and teach us about yours and not bash other people?
Because we eat animal flesh.
Yeah.
Like,
no, terrible.
Kidding at us.
But speaking of that type, those type of videos that Chris produces, right? So, quite a lot of people, I see other, obviously, international figures are obviously also doing it. And I think, I see it's like a huge thing, like, travel vlogging, or I don't even know if this, if it's considered a vlog, because it's something that is so planned out and obviously thought through and edited, and a lot of, like, effort has been put into it. For me, like, for now, even, if you mention the word vlog to me, for me, it's kind of just like, oh, hey, guys, this is what I'm eating today. Like, oh, tomorrow, I'm going to be doing this. Like, you know,
informal
what I'm saying?
And
yeah,
raw,
like,
and
not
stuff.
Planned, not overly edited, like, not thought out at all, pretty much. It's just people following you
and
around.
And a person driving a narrative with what they're saying. So
exactly.
A lot of these, the travel vlogs and that are very much visual, which I think makes sense.
Yes. It's wonderful.
Where the person isn't necessarily speaking. It's just these amazing, breathtaking shots.
Yes.
Let's bring Chris in, because he is on the line live from Cape Town. This guy, your Instagram is a rock star, dude. Your YouTube is rock star as well. Chris, I feel like you're living your best life.
Thanks, guys. How's this?
I really feel like you are. We were just speaking now about if what you do is vlogging or if it's filmmaking. What would you say it is, all these, you know, travel videos and action things that you put together?
I definitely don't consider myself a vlogger. Just because I feel like if you're a vlogger, people tune in to sort of see you in your face, where people sort of tune into my content to see, you know, epic action stuff and not necessarily me the whole time. Actually, rarely me. It's more of sort of my adventures with my friends, and a lot of my friends are sort of extreme athletes in sort of, you know, wakeboarding, surfing, whatnot, and it's sort of me being able to film and hang out with them, and I think that's what people really tune into. So I sort of consider myself more of a filmmaker, content creator than a vlogger.
So, but how did you decide to get into sort of that kind of content creating, for lack of a better word, the vlogging and that kind of thing? What made you get into it? Was it just a love for filmmaking?
Yeah, well, I've always been into action sports. So, I mean, I wakeboard, I surf, I snowboard, all that. A couple of years ago, I had quite a hectic accident and broke both my legs snowboarding. It kind of put me out of being able to do those sports for quite a while. And, you know, I still went along to sort of support my friends and watch them. And the sort of second best thing I could do was take photos and videos of them, since I couldn't do it. And I just sort of got a bit of a passion for photography from that side. And then a year later, I bought my first GoPro and started filming myself and my friends doing all the crazy things we do. And a couple of months later, the guys at GoPro called me up and they're like, hey, we like what you're doing. Let's sort of work something out here. And then, it just sort of grew from that, really.
So now, I mean, your pictures and your little videos and your clips on Instagram are pretty, they look very curated. Like, there's not, like, random stuff on there that, you know, that other people would have on the Instagram. So obviously this has become, like, a very calculated, planned sort of product that you're putting out there all the time. When did you reach that point where you thought, okay, now I need to make this more polished, it needs to be more thought out, so when people click on my Instagram account or my YouTube channel, they know they're getting, you know, a specific kind of flavor and treatment and, you know, to the visuals and stuff that I'm seeing.
Yeah, that sort of, I would say that started to happen towards, I think, end of 2014, some like mid to end of 2014, I sort of started to see a bigger growth in my social media following and could see that, you know, people enjoyed the certain type of content I was putting out. So it became, you know, not so much about, you know, the more, I guess you could say, personal things like, you know, where you're going for lunch or something like that. It became more about people want to see the content I go and create that's sort of out there, travel, action packed. And I realized, you know, that's what people want to see, and that's what I enjoy doing. So I sort of realized it's going to become more of a portfolio for that, you know.
So what can you tell us a bit more about the award that you won?
Yeah, so it's the top YouTube channel in Africa, and it's done through a website called Webfluential, and they sort of measure your statistics, like I think your view counts and where your views are coming from, you know, what countries, demographic, along with your sort of subscriber counts. I would have liked to have seen exactly how they do it, but I know it's along those lines.
No, we've had them on the show, so it's I mean, if they've voted you as the top African vlogger in the country, well, a YouTuber in Africa, then it's pretty legit because they look at your Google statistics, your Google Analytics and stuff like that, yeah. And they look at real sort of like your reach and everything and real stats and numbers to get to that. That answer, so it's pretty legit. So well done on that.
Yeah. That's what's so great about YouTube is it gives all that information, whereas something like Instagram, I feel it's really difficult to sort of get that sort of information.
Right, so we're clear, and so all the other listeners are clear. Is this what you do full time? Is this what you do for a living?
No, not right now. Like a lot of people, and I feel like a lot of local content creators or people that call themselves YouTubers, I feel like you only really have the right to call yourself a YouTuber when you're actually making a living purely off YouTube, and mm-hmm. I'm not at that stage yet. Okay. I'm busy working towards that.
Mm-hmm.
So at the moment, I am going full-time YouTube. I am working the odd sort of video for a client, which, you know, would be something like a music video or a festival after movie. That's sort of where most of my sort of income comes from, but I'm sort of focusing on for the next 3 months YouTube pretty much full time and getting ready to sort of be able to post consistently on YouTube, because that's the only way you'll ever really succeed. So from now until about August, and for the last previous 2 months, I've just been filming and editing videos nonstop for my YouTube channel, and hopefully sometime around August, September, I'll start releasing them one by one every week, so people will know, okay, cool, on a Monday at a certain time, Chris is going to have a new video out, and that's when I hope to really see the results I want to see, and hopefully sort of, you know, hopefully in the first half of next year, be able to have a solid income just off YouTube. So that's sort of the plan going forward at the moment.
So obviously you're not making, you're planning these things ahead, right? So, the question I'm asking is, what would you be your advice to people getting into vlogging? Because I know Mary Lou's is a beauty vlogger, and she does beauty videos, and I'm not there yet. I'm in fitness, and I want to get into YouTube and doing YouTube videos because it makes more sense. But what would be your advice to people like us who wants to get into the YouTubing space and we want to do that kind of thing?
Yeah, I think you gotta almost find a gap in the market, because the whole beauty and fitness thing is very saturated and it's very competitive. And I think a lot of vloggers, they don't become sort of famous from vlogging. They sort of get their name out there from doing something that's completely different and so unique that they gain attention, because sort of nobody is really gonna be interested in you until you have a sort of big following. It's really weird the way it works. That's why I've kind of, you know, I don't want to vlog, and I'm going to start sort of a lot of people I find on my videos, they want to know how I'm filming, what I'm filming with. And going forward, I want to sort of do behind the scenes vlogs of how I shoot my videos and what goes into it. But sort of the best advice going forward is make sure, like, look at what the best people are doing out there and try and make content like they're doing. But if your content isn't at that sort of quality and same level, you know, don't almost bother, you know, sort of set the bar really high and try to be on that sort of level and be consistent. Being consistent is definitely the key.
So I have a technical question. Since you just mentioned equipment, do you film most of your videos using GoPro? Because I see it has that GoPro typical wide angle look to a lot of your videos and your photos. And also, what software do you use?
Yeah, I shoot everything. Everything I do is 100% GoPro.
Which one?
Yeah, so that's the only camera I use. I use the Hero 4 Black and occasionally the Hero 4 Session and Hero 4 Silver. So that's pretty much all the cameras in the range. But my go-to camera is the Hero 4 Black.
Mm-hmm.
And then software for editing my photos, I use Adobe Lightroom and a bit of Photoshop. And then for videos, I use Adobe Premiere Pro and After Effects.
Because, I mean, your stuff looks amazing. Like, it looks really pro. I mean, obviously, a lot of the stuff is obviously on angle and editing afterwards. But, I mean, it looks absolutely amazing.
Very, very impressive. I got to ask you, Chris, before we wrap this up. Do you think what you do is cool? Because to me, this is like the coolest thing. You've got the coolest Instagram. You've got this dope YouTube. It's your girlfriend running around. You're holding each other's hands. It looks amazing. Like, you're living your best life. Do you deem what you do cool?
Yeah, I have a lot of fun doing it, but at the same time, you know, and this is the big thing with social media, and I tell a lot of my friends, because they're like, oh, you know, you're so lucky you don't have a 9-to-5 and you're living the life, and it's like, yeah, that's how it seems on social media, and don't get me wrong, I love what I do, but I don't have a 9-to-5, I have a 24/7. I'm constantly working, you know, I'm editing until 2 in the morning. So there's so much like blood, sweat and tears that goes on behind the scenes to sort of make that happen. And that's the side that a lot of people don't see, but I wouldn't trade it for anything else. I absolutely love doing it.
I just have one more question. I'm looking at your YouTube channel, and the durations of your videos all vary from like 1 minute to like almost 5 minutes. So what would you say is the ideal duration before people sort of lose interest, or what do you say is too short a video?
Yeah, so I mean, if people's attention spans are getting shorter and shorter every day, I feel like these days. But for me, I sort of aim to make it around a 3 minute edit. To me, for me, music is a big part of what I do. I need a good song, and I need to edit, you know, in sync with the beat. So I sort of aim for 2.5 to 3 minutes. When I start going closer to 4 or 5 minutes, it starts getting a bit longer. And you know, what I usually do is I'll sort of edit my videos, and I have a few friends that I'll send the video to privately before I put it out to sort of get their opinion. And I know they're not the type of friend that's going to be like, oh, that's so good, that's amazing every time. They're going to be like, no, wait, you need to fix this, it's a bit too long. They'll give me an honest opinion. So I find for me and the type of videos I do, I try keep it around the 3 minute mark. I know with my friends who vlog, there are a few guys who do daily vlogs, they can push it to around 8 to 9 minutes, sometimes a bit longer. And the standard sort of vloggers out there, they seem to sort of do around 4 or 5 minutes. But I think sort of the 3 minute mark is key. If you can keep it short and sweet and keep people's attention, that's quite valuable.
And cool. Then last question.
The music you use, I just wanted to know, the music you use, could you use any music, and or do you use like stock music?
No, so I mean, music is a difficult one. I follow a lot of sort of different accounts on YouTube that are sort of dedicated to royalty free music, and I always keep tabs on them, and I'm subscribed to them. So, and they, all the videos on their channel are just dedicated to sort of pretty good songs that you can use as long as you credit the artist. Whereas if you can't go use a big commercial song, well, you could, but you wouldn't be able to monetize it or make any money off it. Okay. So I'm always looking out for sort of royalty-free music that I am able to use and monetize on my channel.
Super insightful. Chris, this has been fantastic. If we've learned one thing from you today, though, in one sentence, what should we take away from Chris Rogers?
Oh, wow. Just go out there and create epic content.
Power, dude. That's very, very awesome. Cool. That's Chris Rogers there, live from Cape Town. You can keep up with him. It's Chris Rogers ZA on social media platforms, and his YouTube channel is, of course, Chris Rogers. I should be doing this, yo.
I want to get a GoPro now. I need to get a GoPro.
You know, I do have a GoPro, and I filmed so much of my holidays when I got it last year. But do you know the amount of editing you have to sit in front of that computer to edit all those videos and, like, literally pull out junk that is not going to interest anyone? So I just gave up.
It's curating it. It's editing it. This is the thing, is that it looks easy in these minute-long clips on YouTube or two-minute-long clips or whatever, but so much work goes into making that great minute.
You know what the thing is? I find, you see, if you don't know, if when you start doing it as much as Chris does it, you start shooting what they say, shoot to edit. So you know already, okay, I'm going to go, yeah, and I kind of want this shot. So
it's
you kind of know in your head, you make a rough edit already, like, okay, I need a shot like this. I need an establishing shot. I need a wide shot. I need this shot. I'm like, okay, cool. And then once you get like a couple of versions of that, then you know everything else is just extra crap, or I don't actually need to film anymore. I can switch my GoPro off. I've got what I need to edit. It's when you just go and you film like crazy when you end up with hours and hours of stuff that just you don't need.
Everything, yeah.
Very impressive, though. Okay, cool. Final thoughts.
I need to get into vlogging. It's the next step, I think it adds – I think there is still value most definitely in traditional blogs. Mm. I mean, some of the biggest blogs in the world are still making huge sums of money, working with huge fashion brands.
Absolutely.
Making the money and being successful with pictures and word. But I do think the next step is video, and maybe to introduce a little bit of video into your blog.
Yeah. Mm. No, I feel like YouTube is definitely an amazing platform to showcase your work to not country specific audiences. Like, I'm talking about like international audiences.
Mm.
Like, I've gotten, you know, feedback from like literally every corner of the world, and YouTube makes it so easy for you with the analytics on tracking who's watching your stuff, where are they watching it from, and you know, just like the top percentage of like which city it goes down to. So I definitely think that YouTube is an amazing platform to start with, like videos and stuff.
Oh, another cool edition of Blogger Diaries.
Very dope. Anything dope popping over at FabuFit or Love Mary Lou?
Next week, I'm going to be looking at weight training for women, why you should be doing it, which is important because most women think that weight training bulks them up and makes them look like a man, and it's not true.
Yeah. I agree. Mm-hmm. Well, I didn't actually upload anything this week because I was sick last week, because I always filmed the week before and then I edited throughout that week and then I uploaded on Monday. So, but I did film something this week and it'll be up on Monday.
Fantastic. Ooh. It's lovemarylou.com. It's fabufit.co.za. It's Warda_Hartley. It is Love Mary Lou. You two, thank you so much for another power edition of Blogger Diaries.
Thank you.
Business leaders around the globe are committing to building a better world for everyone. CliffCentral.com is joining forces with the Sympathy Sleep Up, taking a stand for the plight of the homeless. We invite you to participate with us in the Sympathy Sleep Out on the 28th of July, 2016. Join the ranks of leaders of change by using your influence for what truly matters. Sign up now for the Sympathy Sleep Out on www.theceosleepoutza.co.za. That's theceosleepoutza.co.za.
Choice. Sometimes you have it, and sometimes you don't. Auto Trader gives you the choice. Now you can shop, compare, and buy new cars. Watch our expert video reviews and research before you buy. Auto Trader New Car. The choice is yours.
Kelman on CliffCentral.com.